We conclude today the fourth message in our series, All I Want for Christmas. For over the past 3 weeks, we've looked at what's really important about Christmas. Hope, peace, joy, and today we're going to look at love. Now, Christmas is only 3 days away. And I've been told that Santa takes advantage of the technology of this modern age. It's my understanding that Santa uses GPS to find his way around. He uses iPhones to communicate. And he uses the internet to also connect and communicate with people. Did you know that you can email your Christmas list to Santa Claus at emailsanta.com? They get over 1 million emails a year from people who are wanting to let Santa know what they want for Christmas. And there's some intriguing comments that they receive, like these. Now, these are actual comments that children have sent in on this internet network. And, for example, there's a boy named John who wrote to them and said, I'm sorry, but I don't have a chimney. I'll leave the cat flap unlocked for you, but please watch out for the litter box. Now, Alex, 8 years old, he wrote, thank you for the remote control car last year, even though it broke the day after. I know you tried, and that's what counts. A young boy named Art wrote, I'm sorry for putting that X-Lax in your milk last year, but I wasn't sure if you were real. My dad was really mad. Chris emailed Santa saying, Mommy and Daddy say I have not been very good these past few years or few days. How bad can I be before I lose my presents? Kayla, 9 years old, she said, please don't bring me any new clothes. Now, Roseanne, 11. She wrote and she said, do you know Jesus is the real reason for Christmas? Now, not to be mean, but he is. Huh. Did you know that Jesus is the real reason for the season? That's an important question to ponder. Vonda and I had our family gathering for Christmas yesterday with our 6 children, and 13 of our grandchildren were present, and they brought some friends along with them, and the house was overflowing. And as soon as they came, that's when Vonda got the call that her mother had fallen and needed to go to the ER. And so the day was kind of chaotic. Vonda does most of the hosting, and I had to take over, and that was a challenge for me. But at one point during the evening in our conversation, we talked about how our culture and society celebrates Christmas with shopping and buying and Santa Claus. And is that what we should be doing? Shouldn't it be how we celebrate Christmas with sharing and loving and about Jesus? And we concluded that conversation yesterday evening with the same outcome as Roseanne in her email to Santa. We concluded that Jesus is the real reason for the season. So as we gathered and we were sharing gifts with each other, we were talking about how can we do this in a way that more glorifies God, more glorifies the gift that God has given us in Jesus. Now, of course, you know that too, don't you? Don't you know why or know that Jesus is the reason for the season? But here's the question. Here's an important question. Underneath that, do you know why he's the reason for the season? Let me illustrate what I'm trying to get across by telling you a story about a boy called Joey. In Joey's house, there were, on that Christmas morning, many presents under the Christmas tree. But there was one gigantic box, one gigantic present under his tree. And when the presents were being handed out on Christmas morning, Joy was given that biggest package, that biggest present that was under the tree. And he was so excited, he said, Is this really mine? Is this big present really for me? It sure is. As soon as Joy knew that it was for him, he tore into that package and he tore off the paper and opened the box. And what do you think he found? What do you think was inside that large box? It was the best Christmas present Joy had ever received for Christmas. What do you think it was? What's your guess? We all have ideas of what we think the best present would be, don't we? We can all picture in our mind what the best present is. All I want for Christmas is... How do you measure the value of a present? How do you judge its worth? By its size? By its weight? Do you judge it by the cost? Or by the usefulness of it? I want you to hold on to that thought of what was inside of that box for now. And what I would like to do this morning is to examine God's present to us at Christmas. You see, God has a present for you for Christmas. However, if that present that God has for you, if it was wrapped up, if it had a bow on it, if it was under the Christmas tree, how large would that box be? Well, listen to what God's Word says about such a present from the Message translation. It says, this is how God showed His love for us. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away all our sins and the damage that we've done to our relationship between us and God. How do you measure the value of God's gift to you? Well, I want to quickly suggest three ways. First, God's gift is measured by its usefulness. What is the usefulness of Christmas? The usefulness of God's gift to you. Notice that in verse 9 of the scripture reading, the usefulness of the gift, it said, so that we might live. Jesus said it this way. He said, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. in John 10:10. What a promise that is. Not just life, not just existence, but Jesus said he came so that your life might be above existence, above life. It might be worth something, that your life has worth. Abundant life. Life with a purpose. A life with value. Life with meaning. A life that has eternal consequences and benefits. Jesus said, I've come to give you something more than you can even imagine. It's abundant life. You see, God made you a special person. But he did it for a special purpose. He chose us, actually picked us, the scripture says in Ephesians 1:4. He picked us out for himself as his own. In Christ, before the foundations of the world, he picked us out that we should be set apart for him. You were specially created, handcrafted, if I would say that. You were uniquely made for the purpose of bringing glory to God. The fact is, you are here to bring glory to God. Your purpose is to live a life that magnifies the Lord, to encourage and support other Christian brothers and sisters, to become more like Christ, to use your gifts and your talents in helping others, to tell those who don't know Jesus that there is good news for you. Your purpose is to bring glory to God in all that you do, in all that you say, in the way that you live. God's gift to you at Christmas, God's gift of salvation that he gives, is useful to bring glory to God. It gives us meaning. It gives us value. Our purpose at Christmas is to bring glory to God. Here's the second way to measure the value of God's gift to you. It's measured by its cost. King David said that if he was going to sacrifice to the Lord, he was going to give his best. He was going to give something of value to God. He was going to give something of worth. And why would David say that? Because that is what God had done for him. He had given us the most precious gift he could possibly give. Something of worth. Something of value, something that is one of a kind. He gave us his son. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Look at verse 10 of our scripture reading. It said, this is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son as a sacrifice. God knew what had to be done. He knew what price had to be paid. He knew what is going to cost him, and he sent the best for you and for me. He sent his son. He sent Jesus Christ, born as a child, for the salvation of the world. And if he gave that much to you, what should you be giving to him this Christmas? Fact is, God's gift to you is beyond value. God sent Christ to die for you, to give you life, new life. Well, here's the last point I want to make. The third way to measure the value of God's gift to you is it's measured by its effectiveness. Why did God send his son to die for you? What is the love of God intended to do? Let me tell you what God's love is intended to do. It's intended to change you. Verse 11 says, if God loved us like that, we certainly ought to love each other. Ought sounds like a suggestion in the scripture reading, but it's not. It's not just some suggestion that God is making to us. The Greek word for ought could be translated must. The root word actually means to owe something, to owe a payment, or to be under an obligation to pay it back. So let me restate that verse and read it again with that kind of translation. If God loved us like this, we certainly must love each other. Why? Because God is not done loving the world yet. He wants to keep loving the world. But He wants to do it through you, and through me, and through us. Jesus said it this way, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do we light a lamp and put it under a basket, but we put it on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's in Matthew 5:14-16. Does God love change you? Yes. Does it affect your behavior? Yes. Does it affect the way you treat other people? Yes. You see, that is what love is intended to do. Love is intended to change us into loving, compassionate people who care for the needs of those who are around us. God wants to love the world, but He wants to do it through you. Through me. Here's an important question to ask this Christmas. Are you letting God show His love through you? You remember I told you the story about Joy and about his big present under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning? What do you think was in that box? That was the best Christmas present he had ever received for Christmas. Now here's the point of that story. It's not what was in the box. The point of the story was, what did it do to him to receive it? Did it touch him? Whatever was in that box? Did it give him a new purpose? Did it change him? The way he responded to others? You see, when God sent Jesus Christ into the world on that first Christmas morning, God had a usefulness for giving that gift. It was to give you meaning and to give you value and to bring glory to God. God's gift on that first Christmas morning was to be valuable. It was to pay a price for your sins and my sins and to set us free, to make life different. God's gift was to be effective. It was to change your life. That's what we celebrated Christmas. It's God's gift to us in Jesus that is useful and valuable and that changes us. It changes us so that you love the way God loves. All I want for Christmas is love. God's love. It's the best Christmas present ever. It is Jesus Christ. And the fact that He loves me. And He loves you. And do not pass this Christmas without receiving His gift of love too. Would you pray with me? Loving God, I thank You so much for Your gift of life that we celebrated this Christmas season through Jesus Christ. God, You want to remind us that that gift that was born many years ago is to be born again this season in our life. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to receive that gift again, to need to receive that gift of love, that Jesus loves them and wants to change them, wants to give them the hope and the peace and the joy and the love of God this season, that God, we will make a response to that. That God, we will say, here am I, Lord. I want to receive Your gift. Thank You, Father. Thank You for this time together. Thank You for this season. May we celebrate now as we turn our lives anew to You, as we respond to You in Your love, as we give ourselves to You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.